Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we've got a neat interview with Kevin Bushnick from the Youth Conservation Alliance. And then an interesting interview from longtime Minocqua Area Guide Russ Smith. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get out and hit the trails with the Polaris New Year's sales event at Hayward Power Sports. Hurry in for rebates up to $2,000 on the last few remaining 2018s. Meanwhile, the 2019 Polaris snowmobile lineup offers a two-year limited warranty on select models and financing as low as 3.99%. Plus, if you have young riders, check out the Polaris Indy Evo, the trail-ready sled built specifically to transform new riders into confident riders, starting at just $52.99. Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle and helping co-host again today. We've got Hayward Area Fishing Guide Eric Tuohy. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, John.
We just keep getting more snow and more snow, and that's really making things a little tougher out there ice fishing.
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing this year, high amounts of snow in kind of a short period of time. It's not uncommon for us, so to speak, to have a large amount of snow, but we've gotten it in a short amount of time, in a span of maybe a month or so, whereas something like this would have been stretched out a little longer.
Well, when it comes down, all of it at one time, it adds that increased weight on the lakes real quick, and it tends to make slush. The ice can't kind of absorb it.
Correct, yeah. And kind of with that, some of our lakes are just kind of are naturally slushy lakes when there's snow on them, but we are seeing a little bit more. We will be seeing slush on the lake, so it's just going to be part of the name of the game for the time.
Best thing there is to stay wherever there's a trail or where it's been packed down, because that trail actually creates a hump or a high spot, and then you get off that, that's where you're going to run into trouble.
Yeah, and you might just hit one weird spot where it's the worst spot in the whole lake, and you're stuck or something or other.
What have you been hearing as far as the fishing out there, the guys that have been going out?
Panfish fishing has been still pretty good. We've had some high pressure days, so that's brought, maybe a little finicky bite here and there. But, guys have still been able to ice some nice crappies and still some decent bluegill fishing out there. Folks are still, chasing pike. We got a little bit left of the season left. We did a little bit of walleye fishing with the kids at that YCA event here this last weekend on round. And, later towards those witching hours, we ended up, having a few false trip flags, but we did get a nice walleye that evening too.
I believe the weekend this airs, second and third, would be the last weekend for the game fish season.
Yep, absolutely. So the third, is our capper.
Yep. And we still got a lot of good fishing to be had, though. You got the panfish, and that actually starts to get better and better.
Absolutely. So it does progress. It does become getting better. We'll see kind of that, still that bite in kind of our deeper basins, and then we'll start to see a little bit of a transition where they start kind of sliding more up to the edges of those basins and sometimes even shallower.
Actually, one of the things that do move shallower would be the perch, because they're absolutely the first ones to spawn in the spring, and they'll start migrating quite a ways before that ice out even.
Absolutely, yeah. So they will be the first to start. Absolutely, John.
The other places too is, I know if you still want to ice fish for game fish, you get up on the Shawamigan Bay and there's good ice up there now, and I don't know what their situation is as far as any slush or anything like that, but that actually is a good place to go after, you know, anything, walleyes, northern pike, anything this time of year.
Yeah, so that will, you know, hold true into fishing, you know, well into the month of March, generally speaking, and, you know, as well as like your cohos and steelhead and browns and all that, giving some anglers some more opportunities. So,
well, yeah, you know, and when does the steelhead season start? That's the end of March, maybe, or is it before that?
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'd have to pull the rigs up to be specific, yeah, sometimes can be dependent on some of the waters as well. So,
but you have a lot of open water areas that are not in the rivers up there that'll be start showing up, and we've talked about that on other shows. And a lot of guys hit that hot pond up there can be good too in Ashland.
Absolutely, and I mean on a fairly mild winter, it's not uncommon to have open water right there, and it's not uncommon to catch cohos almost all winter even right there. So.
You know, I was up in Duluth the other day, and that looked pretty froze up along the North Shore, which a lot of times that's not, but it is this year.
Yeah, so I'm sure you probably saw a whole slew of shacks out there and guys taking advantage while they can.
And, you know, talk about a couple other things here. There'll be a few sports shows left yet, as with the Minneapolis show will be one of the last ones coming up. And, you know, guys are starting to think about getting their new gear and equipment for this next year, too.
Yeah, now's the time to start thinking about that, John.
You know, we're going to talk a little bit about that in the end of the show here. Right now, we're going to need to take a break and hear from some of our fine sponsors. We come back with an interesting interview with Kevin Bushnick from the Youth Conservation Alliance. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The Hayward area is a snowmobiler's haven with over 600 miles of groomed trails. In the middle of it all, find Hayward Power Sports. We're open 7 days a week because the weekends are when you count on us the most. Hayward Power Sports has 14 people staffing our parts and service department. With the most up-to-date computer diagnostics and the most highly trained techs, nobody can get you back on the trail faster. Plus, with well over $1 million parts inventory, we're likely to have your parts in stock. Hayward Power Sports is your Polaris and Ski-Doo dealer with the region's best selection of new and used sleds. Plus, our showroom is packed full of garments and accessories. Check out our Polaris, Ski-Doo, Castle, and Climb. Find Polaris, Ski-Doo, and HJC helmets and necessities like wear rods, belts, Hyphax, and oil. Want to get back on the trail fast? Come see Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77 or online at haywardpowersports.com.
Have more fun than ever before at Hayward Power Sports. Let's have some fun!
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host is Eric Tuohy, fishing guide. And Eric, I know you were out there in Round Lake, and I was out there. I had done a little video I put up on YouTube for that Youth Conservation Alliance. They had that ice fishing outing on Round Lake.
Yeah, it was a blast. You know, a whole bunch of kids. We had a little cookout on the ice. They showcased some, you know, water sampling. We also, you know, later in the afternoon had some pike action. So we're also able to show the kids a little bit, you know, not only with the fishing and, you know, having fun catching a fish, but safe handling of a fish, especially, you know, if it's something you're going to be throwing back and releasing back into the water. So
I'll give Kevin a lot of credit for the amount of work he's done. He started out with that Youth Conservation Alliance and that youth muskie hunt he has in the Hayward area here. And, you know, we need to get more kids out involved. It's hard to compete with all the video games and computer stuff we got nowadays. And, you know, just we need more kids outdoors.
Yeah, they're our future. You know, there are ones that are going to be going to the conservation hearings and all these other things to, you know, continue on a fantastic fishery that we have up here and across the country.
You bet. Some of us, we've done our job out there. We've been there doing this stuff. I've been doing it 40 years. Some guys have been 50 years. I mean, it depends on how early you guys started. I didn't get started guiding until I was over 30 years old. But before that, it was mechanic and on outboards and motorcycles and electronic stuff and everything else. But we have a new generation of guides out there, and hopefully we'll have more if we get more kids involved.
Absolutely, John. It's, you know, whether it's guides or just getting kids fishing, you know, and in the outdoors.
Yeah. Well, let's hear that interview with Kevin, and we come back, we'll have yet another interview and a wrap up on the show. Well, Kevin, we're sitting out here in an ice shack out on Round Lake. You have another event. You know, we always talk about the youth muskie hunt, and we'll talk a little bit about that here too, but you have a couple other events, and one of them is an ice fishing event you're having now out on Round Lake.
Right. So we have a group of about 25 kids, and, you know, we haven't really done anything major in terms of ice fishing over the years. This is our ninth year. We were founded in 2010. But as I get more into fishing up here, and specifically ice fishing, it's really just another great activity for the kids to work on. And their parents are out here today in most cases. And there's a church group participating, Northern Lights Church, that Pastor Tim is out here from that church. And it's just a lot of fun. We're, you know, the kids are learning about how to use various technologies with depth finders and sonar and things like that. And we're just kind of showing them the ropes and learning ourselves along the way.
Well, it's good to get kids out too, but you know, ice fishing is one of the faster growing aspects of fishing too.
It is. You know, it's with the type of technology and depth finders and stuff they have out, and the customized tents, and it's almost comfortable to be out here. And it's a different type of fishing, but it's very relaxing and it's very gratifying when you get something through the ice.
And actually, you can teach the kids a lot out here about what's going on. Your ice shelter, you got a beautiful color camera going on, you got sonar in here, and it's warm and toasty in here. But some of the stuff you can teach the kids are things that they can put to work in the summertime even fishing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't always see what's below the ice. And in this case, I mean, all the kids basically are looking at these screens and in amazement at what's down there. And we have, you know, there's sunken docks and piers and broken fish cribs and big piles of sticks. And the kids just kind of stare at it in fascination. And there's, of course, fish down there. So these are all the things that we're trying to teach them. And the biggest thing about ice fishing that I've learned in the past 2 years is preparation. There's a lot of things you have to do ahead of time to make your, you know, your program and your experience better. And it's just, it really pays off. It really does.
Well, Kevin, you know, too, is one of the things besides the fishing, what you and your organization focus on is teaching kids about the outdoors and the environment, the water, a bunch of different things.
Yeah, so I have on my board up here now is Michelle Groves. She's a professor of environmental sciences at Oakton College in Illinois. And we really kind of mapped out these events in a way that, you know, gives the kids an opportunity to do things like water testing. We look at bugs. We look at, you know, all kinds of things, minnows under the microscope. And it gives them an appreciation for the environment around them. So, again, very educational experience, and it's also just fun catching fish.
Well, you know, we've got the ice fishing one, and we're going to talk a little bit about the muskie hunt coming up. But you've got some other things you do during the course of the year, too.
Yep. I mean, the muskie hunt is our big event is in September out at Moose Lake, and I think we caught 70 muskies last year in 2.5 days. And of course, you know, we love having you out there, John, you and Larry Ramsell and Daryl Niebauer. I mean, all you guys have been at this with me for what, 8 years, I think.
Yep.
Now. So we're all getting older, and these events just, you know, we started with 6 kids and we're up to like 80 kids. So it's kind of crazy. There's a lot of activity, a lot of things going on. But we just love it. We love seeing how enthusiastic the kids are about fishing and just being outdoors. And most cell phones don't work over there. And lo and behold, the kids don't really care. They really, really enjoy doing this. And their parents do it with them, too. So it's really something that, you know, I kind of characterize as a really healthy family activity.
Well, you know, just in case, one of the things that keeps the kids going out there is the amount of fish and the activity we got. I mean, in case somebody thought they heard wrong, that when you for earlier, 70 muskies. Right. I said 70 muskies in 2.5 days. That's an incredible number of muskies. Now, granted, they're counting all sizes of muskies, right. But that's a lot of fish.
So here's the thing that I've found about the kids compared to adults, and I generally get along better with kids than I do adults, but they don't care about the size of the fish, right? If they catch a 35-inch muskie, they are absolutely thrilled, and they're proud of it, and they take pictures, and they talk about it at our lunches and dinners. And so, yeah, they're not all 50-inchers, but I don't even think we've caught a 50-inch. I don't even know if there's a 50-incher in Moose Lake, but we've caught a lot of 40s and 44s, 42s. So it's, you know, that's a great lake because it has a very healthy population of muskies. And we catch other fish there, too. We caught a 10-pound walleye that one year, and we catch very large bass, smallmouth bass even. So it's a good all-around lake. And it's in the forest. Of course, you live out there, John, so you know how beautiful it is with the elk running around and deer everywhere. You know, we had deer swimming in the water one year, and we saw a whole family of otters. So the kids get to see things because they're just by the nature of being outside for three full days, they get to see things that they normally wouldn't see, even in a zoo.
Well, you got, you're planning on some other events now that you live up here?
Yeah, so we do, we like to go out in the spring, the end of May. We collect water samples. Last year we did Moose Lake and Round Lake, and we have three or four area schools participate where we collect the water samples, the bugs, different little minnows, crayfish, things, water scorpions, and then we take them to the school and we actually let them examine those things under the microscope. And last year, one of the girls found a skink lizard, which I didn't even think there was lizards that lived up here because of the, you know, extreme weather conditions, but I actually found out there's five different types of skink lizards up here. So, you know, these are things that you just don't learn about unless you're out there doing it.
Yeah, well, Kevin, if somebody might be interested in your events, either helping out at one or if they've got a kid, some kids that might want to go, how do they get a hold of you? Where do they get information?
So our website is theyca.org. Just go out there. You can hit us on Facebook with questions. We usually post our events in around August. So it's pretty easy to track us down, just theyca.org, and we'll get back to you.
You know, or you can get a hold of me, and I can put you in connection with you, too. Well, Kevin, I want to thank you for taking the time here and sharing this stuff on a beautiful day out here on Round Lake.
Yep, thank you, John. And you know, the kids, I mean, I always judge who my really good guides are because the kids will ask to go back and fish with them, right? And you're one of the, you and Larry, for whatever reason, maybe just because you're the best-looking guides, the kids always, the old guys, they just know that you guys know things. They always want to go out with you, no matter who it is. So, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you getting involved with that event, you and Larry and Daryl. And there's a lot, we had 17 guides last year. So, in a lot of cases, these guides drive up from northern Illinois and they don't even have kids. So they just come up to take, you know, somebody else's kid out fishing. So I just think that is admirable. And it just speaks to how important these events are and programs are for the for our youth.
I give credit to anybody that helps out during that event because it's a big event. It's real important that we get more kids out involved in this stuff now.
Yep, absolutely. You know, our biggest problem now is the event has gotten so big we can't find enough housing for them. Right. We've kind of taken over all the resorts and the hotels, and you know, pretty soon we're going to have people sleeping in tents. I don't know, but you know, these are good problems to have, and it just shows that we're doing something right.
Kevin, I want to thank you for taking the time here.
Thank you, John.
Well, it was interesting listening to Kevin, but we need to take a break and hear from some of our fine sponsors. And when we return, we'll have a wrap-up on the show and yet another interview.
OC Outfitters has everything to keep you warm and active this winter. Clothing, socks, boots, and outerwear, plus a full selection of ice fishing equipment, including Mr. Bunny propane heaters, minnow buckets, ice shacks, tip-ups, jig poles, and of course, live and artificial bait. All this and much more, including alfalfa and deer corn, at OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open daily at 8 a.m. Call 715-634-1044.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. finances. Quick Check and Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle. 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host is none other than fishing guide Eric Tuohy down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And Eric, you know, one of the older guys from over Minocqua is Russ Smith, who makes the Smitty baits around forever. I get a chance to talk to him almost every year, and I talked to him at the last Muskie show last year. It was kind of an interesting thing to hear him talking about the smallmouth fishing and how he got into the bait business and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's fantastic, though.
Well, let's hear what Russ had to say about that stuff. We'll come back with a wrap-up on the show. I ran into a friend of mine from over Minocqua. I've been guiding a long time, maybe a year or two longer than I have even.
I haven't had a real job, let's put it that way, for 40-some years. So
I don't know if you can say that, because guiding is an awful tough job sometimes.
Yeah, you're right. You got to be a certain person for that. You know that, John.
Yeah, you know, some guys think that we make a lot of money, but we don't do it because of money. We do it because of what we love to do.
Oh, it's a passion. I mean, you know, for me, even with the lures, it's always been kind of a passion to make all the lures and, you know, and still enjoy doing that. And my son Jake is also involved with it too, so it's been working out really well.
Well, you guys almost got to have a lure company or something else going on, because yeah, the guiding is just not enough.
Yeah, it's seasonal, you know, so we keep ourselves busy in the winter and come to shows like this and, you know, make product in the wintertime. I never thought I was going to make lures to sell. I was mostly fishing with my homemade lures, and that's how it all got started. And I caught a couple of trophy fish, and a couple of bait shops in Minocqua said, why don't you make me a dozen of those no-name baits? So, and that's how it all started. I got on my little wood lathe and turned out a dozen baits and hung them up in a sport shop in Minocqua and on a Friday, and by Sunday they were all sold. And so that's how I got started making the lures to sell.
You've acquired a couple of different outfits, companies too, besides.
Yeah, we picked up the Dick Rice Bait Company about 6 or 7 years ago, and that was his famous lure was the Top Kick. And then also the Striker was a famous lure that he had, so we have permission to make all those. And we made the 500 collector lures for Muskie Hunter magazine. We 1 year the Top Kick and 1 year the Striker, so it kind of helped pay for the whole business. So
a lot of different lures, almost a complete lineup here.
Oh yeah, we got everything from topwater to trolling baits that go 30 feet deep. So
we can troll now too.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, I don't do it a lot, but it's good sometimes just to take a break between spots and throw a line back there and just go to your next spot. And we've caught fish doing that. We all know there's fish hanging out there in the middle of a lot of places. So
now, Russ, you know, when it comes to fishing, I know you own the Smitty Bait Company and you know it for muskies, but you do a lot of fishing for other fish too, smallmouth in particular.
Oh yeah, like right now it's an explosion of trophy smallmouth bass, like in Oneida and Vilas County, and in your area too, I'm sure, John.
All over the north, it seems
like. The smallmouth bass fishing is world class. I mean, you can catch trophy fish all the time, and if you want to talk about a fighter, that's a real fighter with light tackle. It's really a ball.
We're seeing more and more people actually want to go fishing for smallmouth though too now.
Oh yeah, there's some of my muskie anglers that I fish with in spring and fall. In the summertime, they'll book me for just strictly smallmouth fishing, and that's a really good time to catch them. You have to fish a little deeper, but I mean, that's when we've caught some of our biggest ones, actually, has been in the summertime.
What kind of tips can you give our listeners here as far as, you know, being more productive catching smallmouth, big ones?
Well, we do all different things now. There's so many different plastics out there, and also we're catching some on plastic. And then in the spring, I fish shallower at some of my little wooden crankbaits that we make, you know, and throw them in towards rocky shorelines. Always look for rocks. And you know that yourself, that the smallmouth love rocks, and you could be on a big lake in Hayward or in Minocqua and just fish some of the rock piles, and you're going to catch smallmouth. They're there.
You bet. You know, and then they'll move a little bit deeper as the season progresses.
Always, yeah. They always, I mean, I've caught them down to 35 feet already, you know, during the season when it got warm and that, and deep rock pumps and stuff like that.
The interesting thing about smallmouth, too, is there's never one in a spot. There's usually more than one.
Yeah, you'll see that. I'm sure you've seen it many times where you're bringing one up and his buddy is right behind him. There's a pair of them a lot of times. And a lot of times the biggest ones that I've caught, there always has been a pair of really big ones. So.
Yeah, and the thing we want to constantly remember, just like muskies, is that fishing's gotten good because more people release those fish.
Oh, 100%. And plus they made the season so it didn't. You couldn't keep during the spawn, which years ago the meat fishermen would pick them all off the beds, and that really depleted our bass population. But now that the season doesn't open until mid-June, I think that's really protected the large and smallmouth bass a lot.
You think maybe we need to get people thinking more about catch and release when it comes to big crappies and big bluegill and walleyes?
Oh, yeah, the crappie fishing, like, you know, the guys that are meat fishermen, it's like, it makes you sick because I don't keep that many crappies. I guide people for crappies. I let them keep enough for a fish fry or
Same
something.
Here.
But when you see guys that just load their boats with all them crappies and then they come back the next year, what happened to all the crappies? Well, there were 10 other boats in the same spot doing the same thing. And that's crappies, like on the flowage by us now on a turtle flambeau, it's 10-inch size limit and 10 a day only, which yep. I wish they would do that statewide.
Well, it's went downhill dramatically.
It has.
Crappie fishing. And
yeah.
Bluegills were almost non-existent
yeah.
for 10-inch bluegills.
Oh, yeah, that's a rarity. I mean, there's a couple little pothole lakes that you have to have an old beat-up truck and four-wheel drive to get to because you don't want to take your good truck down some of those roads. That last year we did actually catch some 10-inch bluegills in some of these little pothole lakes, but we didn't keep the big ones either. It's like, you know, you could ruin a little lake like that real easy.
Well, that's what Minnesota came up with. They found out that the big bluegills are the males that dictate the whole hierarchy of the lake, and when you remove those, the females nest with the little small males, and you wind up with a whole bunch of little bitty bluegills. And, you know, if you take the big ones out, if we're going to harvest crappies and bluegills, I tell people 8-9-inch crappies are plenty good enough. 10 maybe at the biggest, but you know, if you're catching a lot of 10s and 12s, that's fine. But you know, when it comes
yeah.
to bluegills, especially 8 and 9 inch fish, throw the big ones back.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I go along with that 100% because that's what we have to do if we want to still have good bluegill fishing.
Russ, you know, it's been a pleasure talking to you here at the show. I want to thank you for coming on.
Oh, thanks, John. It's always really good to see you.
We're getting to be the old timers.
Yeah,
and,
I guess so. Yeah, it's always good to have a little conversation and see your smiling face.
You bet. Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Well, you know, it's interesting talking to him. Me and him get together and we talk about the old days and some of that stuff back when I started. Yeah, you know, your trolling motor was a pair of oars.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that either.
No. You know, sometimes I miss that stuff, but I don't think about it very long. And I think all the new stuff we got now is so much neater.
Yeah, there are things that just make life easier and more fun.
You know, and we've got, if you want to, looking at new stuff this year, I know down here at Hayward Bait, you've got a bunch of new electronics coming in now, and I know they got stuff out at Hayward Power Sports too, and some of the new Hummingbird stuff. That's what we kind of promote, the Hummingbird stuff, because we run it and we really like the stuff, and it does a really fantastic job out there of finding areas to fish and finding fish.
Yeah, absolutely. It's in my eyes one of the most important tools in my boat.
Yeah, the mapping thing is probably the number one thing is how detailed these lake maps have gotten. And when you get on a lake that you don't have a lake map, it's like, oh man, look at the old maps are terrible.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, sometimes that's how it is, but if we can get our boat in there and we have the right software like Zero Lines, you're able to create your own lake map, and that's a powerful thing in your fingertips there.
Well, even in a high definition lake maps, if you go along, you're going to find spots that on a particular structure that are going to be the key spots. Not every spot out there, just because you got a hump or a bar in the middle of the lake out there, is not going to be the spot to run to. There's always going to be key spots on that spot where you're going to find the better fishing.
The spot within the spot, absolutely.
You bet. And talking about new gear, too, quick, as we wrap up the show, if everybody's looking for ice fishing gear yet, you got some good sales going on here at the shop, and you got new gear coming in for the open water.
Yep, absolutely. Come on in, check out some of these great sales that we got going on, as well as some of the new 2019 open water stuff.
You know, Eric, I want to thank you for coming on, and folks, remember, if you miss a show, you can always get that show on our website. On the podcast, so you go to the website at WNORadio.net, and from there you can link through to the podcast, and we have the fishing reports up there and a bunch of other stuff. We're out of time for this week, and thanks, Eric.
Thank you, John.
And we'll see you again next week with another interesting show.
With me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.